is.
That's the song we were looking for when we were trying to put our top five Christmas songs of all time list together from 1988. Yep. The Pogues. Am I right, Allie?
It was on my list.
It was on the list, B.
Come on.
It was on the list.
Oh, we discussed it. Did we put it in?
Yeah.
We discussed it.
Oh,
it was one of the three we agreed on.
Yes.
I wasn't listed. I'm sorry. That is an awesome song. So
we appreciate your misplaced outrage.
Ralph Garman, I'm glad you're here on the KBB show for a Tuesday morning. It's the Star Wars world right now, but you have brought us something special.
It is the Star Wars world. With the big movie opening up this weekend, and it's Christmas time, so what better time to look back on the legend that is 1978's TV special, only aired once on CBS, the Star Wars Holiday Special. It was one of the great moments in Star Wars history. Almost everyone involved with it denies its existence. George Lucas said he'd like to hunt down each and every copy and smash it with a hammer. So there's a lot of love amongst the Star Wars community for this special. But it's the fact that it was never aired again, never rerun, not available on DVD or anything like that has made it sort of the stuff of legend.
Yeah, it's not like Star Wars to leave money on the table.
No, but this one they're ignoring. It really is awesome. It starts with a cold open where we see Chewbacca and Han Solo piloting the Millennium Falcon running from an Empire ship. What is it? Do they have plans for a rebel base? Are they carrying contraband? No. They're trying to get Chewbacca home for the holidays.
I'll get you back there in time, pal. Trust me. Our only hope now is I'll run that Imperial garbage scow now. I'm going to lightspeed. That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
That's a Wookiee holiday?
Life Day.
So you're saying this is real.
This is real?
This was on TV.
And they celebrate Life Day because you can't celebrate Christmas because it's a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. So they had to make up a holiday, so it's Life Day.
All right.
But all the Wookiees love to celebrate Life Day. And then we go right into the big intro, including this long list of guest stars. And as you can imagine, a Star Wars Christmas special is star-studded with nothing but the biggest stars that could appear.
With special guest stars, Beatrice Arthur, Art Carney, Diane Carroll, the Jefferson Starship,
yeah,
Harvey Korman, and an animated Star Wars story. On the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah. They even included a little cartoon in there for you.
That is the most 70s light up ever.
Even in the 70s, these stars
right.
were washed up.
Yep.
No one gave a rat's ass about them then. It is, but it does work in all the original cast members as well, because the Wookiee family is introduced in this special. Chewie's trying to get home to his family, his wife, Mala, his father, Itchy.
His father is
Itchy.
Itchy.
And his son, Lumpy. And so he's trying to get back to the Wookiee home planet to celebrate Life Day. And they're concerned because he's overdue. Han and Chewie are supposed to be there by then. Mm. So they have to call their old pal Luke and say, can you tell us? Can you help us with what's going on?
What's up? It's Chewbacca. Yeah, we'll bring him to the screen. I want to say hello to him. You don't know where he is? Oh, he's not there yet. Is that it? All I can tell you is that he and Han left here on schedule. If he's not there now, they're way overdue.
Thanks for the comforting words,
yeah.
Luke.
It's nice.
Thanks for settling our nerves on Life Day.
Well, he must be dead.
They're probably dead. I'm guessing the Empire probably killed him by now.
Should have been there
Bye.
By now.
It's Mark Hamill's appearance on the show. And the problem with making the Chewbacca family the stars of this special is you get a lot of that kind of dialogue. What? You haven't heard from Chewbacca yet? Everyone has to translate everything they say because they don't speak freaking English. Harvey Korman, as promised, shows up on the show playing a four-armed alien host of a cooking TV show. And Mala, while she's trying to make Life Day dinner, turns on the television to watch a cooking show to get a recipe for Life Day dinner.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So Harvey Korman is a hilarious four-armed alien who's making dishes with all four arms.
Hello. Today we
are going to be preparing a very succulent dish called Bantha Surprise. It's not only a very hearty, nourishing dish, but it's very economical too. So all those hungry mouths in your household will be going, yummy yum on that tummy tum, if you just follow along with me as I prepare this popular favorite.
They'll be going yummy yum on their tummy tum.
George Lucas signed off on this.
Yes, he sure did.
He allowed this to air.
Then Art Carney, who plays a lovable trader on the Wookiee planet. He has a trading post there. He brings a present to Itchy.
Okay.
Who is Chewbacca's elderly father, as we've mentioned. And he gives him a virtual reality helmet that pretty much just shows porn. And
what?
So Itchy sits down and puts the helmet on and enjoys himself some virtual porn right in the middle of the holiday special. And the lovely Diane Carroll provides the sex.
I'm getting your message. Are you getting mine? Oh, we are excited, aren't we? Well, just relax. Yes.
No.
We can have a good time. Can't we?
What?
It sounds like Bean.
What is
happening here?
That's virtual Star Wars porn for Itchy.
Wasn't this a
this
kid's
is real?
Special?
Yes.
What's happening?
And then she sings some sexy alien song to Itchy while he itches himself,
he
I guess.
Scratches that itch.
Then we cut back to Tatooine. Because the Empire is looking for Chewbacca and Han Solo, and we go to Mos Eisley. You remember Mos Eisley?
Sure.
The most villainous pit of
hive of
scum
scumability,
villainy.
Right? Yeah.
Right. And they go into the cantina. Remember the cantina?
Sure.
And we go in there, and all our favorites from the cantina are there, but we find out now who the bartender is, who we didn't really meet in the previous Star Wars movie. B. Arthur is the bartender at the Mos Eisley cantina.
Well, of course she is.
And she breaks into a song, a drinking song, that is, of course, to the theme of the Mos Eisley theme from Star Wars.
Just one more round, friend, then homeward bound, friend. Don't forget me in your dreams.
Yeah. That happened.
Everything about this has the mark of quality on it.
No one in this entire cast said, hey, everyone, let's rethink this.
Han Solo and Chewbacca do finally arrive to be reunited with his family.
That's good news.
After they throw a stormtrooper off of the treehouse and he plummets to his death, which I think is a charming part of the story. But Han and Chewie's family are all reunited.
It's okay, everybody. He's gone. How are you? Son's been doing you proud. Saved my tail more than a couple times. Molly, I'd love to, but I can't. I gotta get back to the Falcon before somebody stumbles across me. Hey, you look at Lumpy. He's sure grown, huh? I think his voice is changing. Come on, I'm just teasing.
I'm just kidding about Wookiee puberty. R2-D2 and C-3PO show up at the final moments. It's like a drug-induced fever dream, this whole thing, because they hold up these glowing globes and somehow magically transports them to a special cave.
Nothing makes any sense.
Where all their friends are waiting for them, including R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yes, R2. It is indeed true that at times like this, R2 and I wish that we were more than just mechanical beings. And we're really alive, so that we could share your feelings with you.
Chewbacca! Chewbacca, we were so relieved to hear you were all right.
All of you are an important part of my life, pal. I'm glad I could be here.
Wow! The whole gang's back together again.
Wow!
And then Princess Leia takes center stage and explains to us what Life Day is all about.
This holiday is yours, but we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
The Tree of Life!
USA! USA!
on with the come on, Ralph.
And what would be a more appropriate way to end the special than with a Christmas carol that is written to the tune of the Star Wars theme by John Williams?
Do I have to hit it?
You have to. Fisher's big note in the Christmas Carol.
Is this on YouTube, Ralph?
It is available on YouTube. You can watch it, yeah. And it is, it's a two-hour special.
Oh, man.
So there's lots to enjoy, and there's just long dead spots where no dialogue is had. You just see a Wookiee walking around, and then they watch like a Wookiee TV show. And then it's Harvey Korman and another character telling the kid how to build a radio set. And it is the craziest freaking dream you've ever had in your life.
I am in.
Hey!
Wow, Beam is right on that one.
That was a hey. That was yeah. Called for, that song calls for a hey.
No.
Any song calls for a hey.
You were right. We were wrong.
Hey, online voting is open now at krock.com for Miss Double December 2016. A lovely assortment of ladies for you. You can check at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Cast your vote for which one you'd like to see represent the Kevin and Bean Show and go to Acoustic Christmas with us and with the Weenie Roast and April Foolishness and the Singles Parties and all the good stuff throughout the year. And don't forget the live pageant is going to be, well, this Friday at the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Get down there early. Bring a new unwrapped toy as the price of admission. And we'll look forward to doing the pageant for you live on stage down there in Fullerton. It's one of our fun events of the year. We hope you can join us. Come out and say hi in person.
Being described for anyone that doesn't know who Carly Simon is and how she plays into this next story.
Carly Simon is still alive, still recording, still active, but she was at the peak of her popularity back in the 1970s. She was a singer-songwriter who has done a lot of songs. You're So Vain is probably the most famous one that people might have heard. She also did a James Bond theme called Nobody Does It Better. But she's written a book, and it's got a lot of people talking because she's telling some stories that we haven't heard before about her very interesting life.
Yeah, and one of them is that Sean Connery wanted to have a threesome with her and her sister.
What?
Go on.
Right?
It doesn't surprise me. I would imagine that Sean Connery in the 1960s, where this story happened, was probably banging everyone. I mean, he was freaking James Bond. Yeah. Wouldn't you think that he would pretty much have his pick of hot and cold running chicks?
And she was 20 at the time. Her sister was 22. So, come on.
And she said, don't be ridiculous. And then her sister called him up and went, hey,
I'm in.
They were on a cruise ship, by the way, going from London to New York when this happened. And we thought we'd like to get some more details about this story and find out. Because, you know, a lot of times people have conflicting memories of how it went down. Carly Simon says she declined, but her sister said yes. That's her version of the story. Let's get Sean Connery on the line and find out what he has to say about it. It's been a long time since we talked to our friend, Mr. Connery. Hey, Sean, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning, chuckleheads.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, I did have a great Thanksgiving. Excellent. Because, you know, being British, I always celebrate Thanksgiving.
I was curious as to why you said that, Kevin.
Nothing's more exciting for an expatriate Scotsman living in Spain than to celebrate Thanksgiving and Squanto sitting down with Pocahontas or whatever the F it is.
I hope you had a great weekend.
Well, it's getting worse.
Okay.
All right. So, Sean, I don't know if you were on hold and heard us, but we were talking about the story that Carly Simon writes in her new memoir, Boys in the Trees. Does it sound accurate the way she described what happened back there in the 1960s?
Yes, everyone's talking about this story. It's got a lot of play in the press.
Right.
Uh-huh. And frankly, I'm upset that someone of Carly Simon's fame would speak out of turn regarding something that should remain personal and intimate.
Oh, so you think it's uncool that she told this story, even now, 50 years later?
Absolutely. There's some things that should remain private.
Hmm.
And I don't think one should go around speaking about one's sexual adventures with other people, especially when those people are still alive.
I could see that.
All right, so is her version of the story true, though? She turned you down, but her sister Lucy, she showed up, and you guys did it.
Well, since she's speaking about it, I guess I can say yes, it's true.
Okay.
I did want to get a Simon Schuster sandwich, which
is
not easy to say.
No, correct. Not for you.
Simon Schuster sandwich.
Right, right.
And Carly was seeing someone at the time and passed on the offer.
Okay.
But her sister Lucy did get in touch with me the next night, and I kept her busy until the dawn of the next day.
All right. Wow. Mm. Now, you were 35 at the time and married, and Lucy was 22 and had a boyfriend.
Yes. But we were at sea. As you know, when you're at sea, none of that matters.
I didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Once you're in international waters.
I see.
That means the vagina's open for business.
I didn't realize that.
And the captain of the ship is able to actually participate.
Oh.
And provide towels and lubricants.
All right.
And so Lucy and I spent some time together.
Uh-huh.
And then I sent her back to her cabin, dehydrated and inside out.
Just wrecked her, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, yes.
Okay.
I don't know how you picked up on my subtle hints. but yes. She was spent and exhausted by the time she returned to her room. She came to me 22. She went back to her room 57 years
old. Oh, man.
I actually shot her through time.
There was some tough traveling involved right there, yes. Wow.
But,
okay.
You know, just it's a fond memory, one of the many conquests I look back on and gives an old Scotsman a wry smile these days when I think about those things.
Uh-huh. Well, I appreciate that you're, as you said at the start of the call, Sir Sean, that you're gentlemanly, though, and you don't like to brag. It took somebody else to bring it up before you would comment on it. I think that's very nice.
I don't speak about my sexual partners, especially the famous ones, usually. But now, apparently, since that cat is out of the bag, maybe it's time for me to start talking about some of the people I've been with.
Go on.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh,
wait, what?
No.
Yes.
You're 85.
Yes, I am.
And she's 23.
And she was twerking on the bagpipe, as we say.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right.
Say no again.
No.
Yes.
But no.
I had a five-way with the Golden Girls once.
Oh.
Yes. That is Estelle Getty. She was a spinner. Yes. Betty White did all the crank.
Really?
Yeah, she kept doing all our meth. Made me furious.
I doubt that, but okay.
I've had sex with Bruce and Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, wow.
I'm not positive that's possible.
It was possible.
Okay.
First it was Bruce, and then it was Caitlyn.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Different.
All right.
Okay.
I was in the recovery room after the surgery and in his room before the surgery.
Okay. My goodness.
Donna Baxter had her.
Well, hey, that's my wife. Hey, wait a minute.
What? I'm surprised. I had a three-way with her and the Dalai Lama at an airport once.
All right.
And just years ago, I got roofied by Bill Cosby. So I guess that's
wow.
Yes, he gave me some scotch.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing you know, I woke up sticky.
Well, you've had a busy life, Sir Sean.
I have, and I'm getting busier as we speak, so I have to go.
Okay.
We understand.
Good enough. Thank you.
The 57th Annual Grammy Awards air this Sunday night at 8 on CBS. One of the bands that's going to be sweating it out in the crowd, waiting to find out if they win a Grammy, is Cage the Elephant. We got a couple of guys from the band in studio with us right now. I think Matt is here. Jared is here. Hi, guys.
Hey. How's it going?
How are you?
And the rest of the guys are down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space, where you'll be performing later. Who's sick? I understand you guys are down a man.
Brad, he caught some kind of stomach bug thing or something
Matt's
like that.
Matt's brother is sick.
Yeah, that's going around.
You can't come back from that, man, these days.
He's done.
It's going around.
That's a death sentence.
Should have got vaccinated. You didn't take him to Disneyland, did you? Because everyone's getting sick going to Disneyland these days.
Yeah. I actually did. Crap.
There it is.
See?
There it is.
That's how it goes.
All right, listen, I mentioned the Grammys. You guys are you're professionals. You're on your third album. You've been around for, you know, how long? 10 years, whatever it's been you've been playing together. But it's still, it's got to be like a dream come true when the phone rings or however you find out that you've been nominated for a freaking Grammy. Tell me about that day for you guys.
I was actually sleeping in my bunk and our bass player came in and pulled up in my curtain and woke me up and was like, dude, we're nominated for a Grammy. And I thought he was joking with me, so. But he wasn't, and it's pretty cool. I don't know. Actually, I'm just trying to keep my focus so that I don't cry, you know, for in any scenario. At
please
the
cry. You know, well, I would love it if you would cry. That would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, you know, like the odds are that you don't win a Grammy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just the odds. And so you don't want to cry if you don't win because that's even worse. You know, like at the Super Bowl, you see a couple players that when they lost, they're like, you can tell they're convincing themselves not to cry.
Here's what you should do, though, is if you don't win, if they announce somebody else, you should stand up and storm out.
Yeah.
This is bull.
Go up and accept it anyway.
Oh, good.
That's what I can do later.
Hey, guys. You know, you're right, because 80% of the people in every category are losers. I mean, that's
exactly. That's what I'm saying. The odds are against you.
Now, let me ask you about this, and forgive me if this is too deep a question for this hour of the day, but are you comfortable with music being judged like this? Like, is it fair for somebody to say that your album is better or worse than Jack White's album or Arcade Fire album, or is it kind of a ridiculous premise to begin with?
I feel like if it was a majority of people in America actually voting on it, then it's probably fair.
Right.
You know, if there's a poll.
If there, you know, as long as it's not like 12 people around a table, like, all right, who's the best, you know? If it was the majority of America, then I think it might be a little bit
What if you, like, campaigned for it, though? Like, you went out and handed out suckers or whatever, knocked on doors.
Do
like,
people hand out
really,
suckers?
Yeah, I really want you guys to, like, believe in our album.
Yeah, we got people standing on street corners with signs.
It's definitely an honor to be nominated. You know, when you first start making music, I don't think it's something at the forefront of your mind to, like, gain accolades or acknowledgments or whatever. You know, when you first start writing music, it's to kind of to express some of the inexpressible feelings that, you know, are in the human heart and all
and
that
meat chicks.
Yeah, and that, too.
Well, you have those childhood dreams of, like, you know, making Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, winning a Grammy. when you're starting up in the basement, you have those thoughts.
It's funny because I don't know that's true for everybody. I think
I know it wasn't for me, honestly.
I think like that's such so far removed from where you probably are starting at that moment.
Oh yeah, but it's one of those dreams.
Crazy, right?
When it does happen, you're like, oh my god, you know, 10 years later.
Well, Matt's
I'm like, man, I just wanted to, like, you know, write music and find escape. And Jerry's like, man, I'm trying to be famous.
Matt's lying. We've been playing together for 16 years, and we've had many conversations when we were teenagers about being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, winning a Grammy.
Whatever. There was one time where we were at CeCe's Pizza, and we just played a show. Actually, it was like a high school
Battle of the Bands,
and we had came in, like, second place amateur level.
So no, we won the amateur level.
Okay, so there was our high school had a pro level and an amateur level, and we won the amateur level. And we were eating pizza, and these girls walked by and looked at us, and we're like, they're looking at us because they know our band.
Yeah.
That's what everybody...
They were probably like, oh, that pizza looks good in there.
We are talking with the guys in Cage the Elephant here. They'll be performing live in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, congratulations. Your song, Cigarette Daydreams, is number one on the National Alternative Airplay chart right now, which is awesome. I'm going to applaud you, but we all support you on that, too. You're also appearing on the Conan Show tonight. While I'm on that mindset here of doing all the TV shows and the interviews and the traveling and the bills that you've played on, has there anyone that you've met in your travels who you've been starstruck by, like you just couldn't believe you were in the same location as fill in the blank Paul McCartney, whoever it was?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, you remember
Adam Sandler?
When we first met him, I introduced myself to him as Cage the Elephant, and he didn't know our band, so he thought it was like some stage name like Dragon. He was like, nice to meet you, Cage the Elephant. I was like, oh, no, that's my band, blah, blah, blah. He's really cool. He ended up sticking around and checking it out. It was on Letterman.
Plus, awesome. He's like exactly in real life, he is how he is in his film. So it's like, oh my God, it's Billy Madison.
Yeah. It's he really does wear. Like, you feel like he wears his own clothes in his movies, don't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It was exactly crazy. Plus, I've seen so many of his movies and stuff. When you see his face, it's like one of those.
I think I was that way about Dave Grohl too, though. When I met him.
Yeah, I can imagine if you're in music, Dave Grohl's got to be.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's going on the K-Rock Mount Rushmore of all time. I mean, he's just
he's amazing,
incredible.
Dude.
So, all right. So Conan tonight, and then you hop in the van and you head down to the observatory in Santa Ana. You're performing down there. That show is sold out.
Are you still in a van? Because Bean said you hop in a van.
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe it's a luxurious van.
Yeah, it's a really nice van.
It's got bottles of water.
All right. It's got mirrored ceilings. And
oh, sweet.
Yeah.
A disco
and then
ball?
Tomorrow Red and Friday, you're going to be playing two more sold-out shows. That's at the Tower Theater in downtown L.A. Those shows are also sold out. So it's been a while since you've been here in Southern California. It sounds like people missed you.
Well, we missed them, too, so that's why we're doing this.
Your album came out a year ago December?
October.
A year ago October.
Yes.
So is it bizarre to be thinking about getting an award for it now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's...
The album process goes, too, you know, you spend a year promoting it, so I'm just glad we released it in time to be nominated.
Right, exactly. Well, we are going to be pulling
for
you.
It was all part of the strategy.
That's good strategy.
Yeah.
We're going to be pulling for you this Sunday night on CBS on the Grammys. I hope they'll at least show you in the crowd, right? At a minimum.
Totally.
So if you don't win, at least you get to be on
TV,
right?
Unless doing something like picking your nose or something, then you don't want to be shown in the crowd.
Although Jared wants to accept it, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to accept
every
award.
Stage. I like it.
It doesn't matter what category.
Best female pop.
Yes.
Woo! We did it.
Dude, you could totally take Ariana Grande. Seriously. You could knock her down and grab that.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to.
Well, listen, we love you guys. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're so glad you stopped by today. And we're going to walk down the hall, if that's okay, to the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space and hear a little live music. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome. We're going to run down the hall.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll be right behind you after this on K-Rock. We are down the hall from the main studio in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock with the band Cage the Elephant in town, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, for a whole bunch of sold-out shows in Santa Ana and in downtown L.A. They are nominated for a Grammy this weekend, so good luck, guys. Kevin, what are you seeing? What are you doing?
I'm in the Red Bull Sound Space with Cage the Elephant, and I believe I'm going to perform with them. Is that right?
Yeah. All right. I will look forward to hearing that.
Actually, I was just going to dance on the side.
All right. Good enough. You guys are going to perform live a couple songs here?
Yes.
What do you got for us first?
Cigarette Daydreams. Did you stand there all alone? Oh, I cannot explain what's going down. I could see you standing next to me. In and out, somewhere else right now. You sigh, look away. I can see it clear as day. Close your eyes, so afraid. Hide behind that baby face. Yesterday, as I recall, you were looking out of place. Gathered up your things and slipped away. No time at all. I followed you into the hall. Cigarette, daydream. You were only 17, so sweet with the mean streak. You can try. can drive all night, looking for the answers in the pouring rain. I wanna find peace of mind.
Come on with the come on with that with Cage the Elephant, right?
Pretty strong.
Kind of caught me by surprise with that ending, you guys. That is Cage the Elephant live at the Red Bull Sound Space from their latest album called Melophobia. That is outstanding, outstanding stuff. That's why you're nominated for a Grammy, man. Hey, glad you guys are here. Have fun while you're in Southern California. Enjoy the big show. We got time for one more if you wouldn't mind honoring us with that.
Cool. This is come a little closer.
There you go.
Two for two, you guys. Two for two.
Be watching Sunday night. Best alternative album. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for performing live. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Last time we had our friend Greg Grunberg on the show, he was in Big Ass Spider. You guys remember that?
Absolutely.
A couple years back?
Come on.
Right?
Come on, right? The best movie ever.
You don't have to tell us, man. We're with you.
I know. By the way, you guys have been so supportive of everything I do, and that especially is a movie that I was really proud of. Have you seen the movie? You're looking at me like you don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I can't wait to watch it tonight.
Yeah. It's so good, Ali.
It actually
so,
is.
It's so
fun.
Good.
Thank you.
Anyway, Greg is back on the TV with Heroes Reborn, and he has so many other things going on. Let's welcome him back to the Kevin DeBean Show. It's been
Thank
too
you.
Long, Greg. How are you, my friend?
So happy to be here. And I just took the biggest dump. I'm just telling you
I
right
now. We don't need you.
Because I got up so early
right?
to come here, right?
Okay.
I had to take my son to work out at school. And then I came here. I was like, I'm going to get – went to get some coffee. Came here.
Yeah.
I didn't do what Jack Black did, but I
close.
Close.
Jack,
oh, no.
Jack
was
Black,
awesome.
Jack Black went to the restroom and then came into the office and said, "You're going to need to get a plumber." So that's
the, and by the way, not kidding.
Not
I heard.
No. Kidding. Correct.
Not
wow.
kidding at
did
all.
Did need
no.
to get a plumber.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't quite get to that level.
No, no. All but right. I left you a little baby daddy. I left you a little something
oh.
there. Yeah.
Speaking
yeah.
of baby daddy. Hi. You were yeah. listening to Ralph on the way in talking about a horrific accident with
yeah.
one of the actors on that show. We did not realize that you are also on that show.
I am. I play the gay grandfather on that show. And that JL, Jean-Luc, and Derek, they're my kids. They play my sons on that show. If you haven't
Why
seen
weren't
that
you invited to this Halloween party where you got hurt?
I'm glad I wasn't.
Yeah, no kidding.
Apparently. But, no, this is serious. I mean, I'm going to contact him. I get all my information through Ralph.
It's like, do you?
Yeah, and then I have to call my friends. And see if they're okay.
But, I feel like that's not a good policy.
Yeah, I shouldn't follow that.
Yeah, well,
but that's
there,
crazy.
It is crazy and a terrible way for you to find out about a friend of yours and a
yeah.
colleague.
Yeah, Ali, do you work at Hot Dog on a Stick? What is
in
this?
In my off time, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at Ali's ID.
It's radio, yeah. Greg. Everybody needs a second gig. Let me tell you about Greg Grunberg. He yeah. is a guy who has to be one of the hardest working actors in Hollywood. And by that, I mean since the last time we had you in for Big Ass Spider,
yeah.
you not only have been doing Heroes, you've been on CSI, you've been on Criminal Minds, you've been on Hawaii Five-0,
yeah.
you've been, I mean, it's
It's the guy who won't say no. That's
Yeah, it's insane how many Masters of Sex, you were on a bunch, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's insane how many shows that you are on. I mean, you are living the actor's dream life, right?
Right now, I have to say, is, because I have Star Wars that I'm in, that is not a huge role by any means, but the fact that I'm in that movie and got to work with my best friend and Heroes Reborn tonight, my character comes on the show and starts killing everyone. It's just
sweet.
It's great. It's a great time.
It's a good time to be you.
Yeah, Halloween. I'm going to the signing this weekend at Kamikaze downtown. Like, all this stuff is kind of hitting at the same time, and I'm having a good time. And I'm back home. That's the best part.
What can you tell us about Star Wars?
So, Big Ass Spider was really fun.
That's
work
what I
on.
Thought.
And no, I can't say anything. I mean, it's all I know is that
did
know,
it seem to be going well?
Yes, very
okay.
well,
right.
very well. When I see JJ smiling and he's just like so excited all the time, and I don't want to know anything. I mean, it's hard because I was there and I shot my stuff, but at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go to the theater with my kids the same way I did when I was
there. I
can
see that, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it you think has connected with you and your best friend in the world, J.J. Abrams, way back when that has kept you guys as such frequent collaborators all these years later?
I think it has nothing to do with show business at all. He's just the greatest guy, and we both, you know, it's a weird thing to be, you know, to meet when you're 4 years old and to remain this close, and our families are really close.
You just work together because you enjoy each other's company. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, right?
No, I mean, for me, it's a job. No, I mean, I'm so lucky that he wants to work with me and continues to. As an actor, that's what you're waiting for people to hire you. You know?
How did the Star Wars thing happen for you? I mean, did he just text you and say, hey, I'm doing it? Or, like, how was that first introduced?
Yeah, it was like a rumor that he was going to be involved, and I called him, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. You know, I haven't decided. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the greatest movie franchise in the history
and
of the world.
And what role do you have for me? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
That's always my first question. No, when I found out that he was doing it, I was like, let the begging begin, you know? And I got
But you're
my
the
knee
only
pass.
Actor who didn't have to beg to be in this movie, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the begging stopped years ago, but
right.
for this, it was, yeah, it was like, you know, and by the way, like Star Trek, I was in, I did a voice in Star Trek. I was supposed to do another role, and I did a movie called Group Sex, and the dates didn't work out, so I ended up just doing the voice on that. And that was disappointing because I love Star Trek, and I loved what he did with the movie. So this was an opportunity to go over there, and my role, I mean, I was on the movie for 7 weeks in London.
You were?
Oh, yeah. But that, on a big movie like that, that's not much.
Not much.
You know, because they're, you know.
But just, did you find yourself, I would find myself just walking around looking at the scenery.
Yes.
You're in that.
Yes. When I walked, I walked on the sets, walked into the Millennium Falcon.
I mean, oh, it's like, my God.
Are you kidding me?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
And the security was so tight. Like, from the, where the trailers are, they call it the circus. So mm-hmm. from the circus to the set, there were drones overhead from, like, TMZ and other people trying to get, this is in,
wow.
this is outside London, on location, and so we had to be cloaked in black, these big black cloaks, so I had to wear my outfit, which, you recognize me, I'm not like, I don't have ears, I don't have anything, you know, I have a beard,
okay.
but other than that, and they cover you, and then you have to get in a car and drive. It was so secretive.
Are you allowed your cell phone at any point?
Well, you're not allowed. I mean, but I have to, look, I have to have constant contact with my wife, man, in case anything
right,
happens.
Right, but I
can
imagine you try to pull out, you know, your phone to take a picture, and you get a...
Oh, I'll
show, blow dart.
I'll show you some photos. This is a radio show. I can show you some photos.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I did what I, wow. you know, what I could, you know, and, but normally I steal stuff from the set and, you know, it's like, I want a little memorabilia.
Sure.
No
sure.
chance. Mm.
Come on. You what's got it? Yoda in your bag.
Did you try?
Yeah.
Greg, what's,
of course I tried.
What's it like for you and, you know, and Oscar and Lupita and all these other young actors that are on the set when Harrison Ford shows up? I mean, does everybody just geek the F out over Harrison Ford and like want to like all day long talk to him?
Yeah, I mean, my first moment was I was off camera. Okay, so I'm next to my face is next to the camera, and I have a scene with or a moment, whatever, not a scene with Carrie Fisher,
mm-hmm.
who I'm like, Carrie Fisher, are you kidding me? And her daughter Billy Lord's there, and whatever. Anyway, we do our thing, and then she walks towards me, and that's supposed to be the end. She walks towards me, wraps her arms around me, grabs my ass, and I'm like, welcome to Star Wars.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My God. And you're living my dream.
She is literally the greatest. He is the best. Like, they're such pros. So, yes, you're 100% right. Like, there was a moment. I mean, I'm talking about stuff I shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where we were all standing around, we have a scene together, and JJ yells cut and then comes over to me and goes, okay, I caught you watching the movie on that take. Like, you're standing there like you're watching the movie. I'm like,
what am I supposed
I
to do?
Yeah. It's Harrison Ford, man. Wow. You know.
And you were, you're the age to have been, when Princess Leia was in the bikini, you
oh, yeah.
were about 13, 14 years old, I bet.
I told her how many times I masturbated to
okay.
her.
Okay. All right.
How can you
stop?
Yeah. I don't know that you have to say it to her.
That's what
Look,
I'm saying.
She's heard,
her
that ever that since
better?
That movie
you told
came
her daughter.
Out.
That's much better.
Yeah, I was like, Billy, guess what I did to your mom?
That's way better.
That's way better.
All right. Greg Rumberg is here. He is, you know, there's only rumors at this point. We are told he is the Jar Jar Binks of this new Star Wars The Force Awakens movie.
No, Juju. Juju Binks.
You can meet him. We'll talk about Kamikaze when we come back. But just in case, for those who can't join us, it's happening all weekend long. And you are going to be Saturday in the South Hall at the Kamikaze at the L.A. Convention Center. Sign in stuff from 11:30 to 1:30, then from 2:30 to 4:30.
And yep.
You get your tickets at KamikazeXpo.com. More with Greg right after this on K-Rock. Actor Greg Rumberg in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It says here you are a writer, producer, and an entrepreneur as well, Greg. So
yes.
Good on you, my friend.
Thank
good
you.
On you.
Thank you.
Hey, how did Heroes end up back on the air? It was gone for what, about 5 years or so, and then came back as Heroes Reborn.
Yes, yeah, 6 years, and we were watching, some huge event, the Olympics, I believe, and there was a promo for it. And we were all like, what? I'm sitting at home going, I've been not working for a reason. No, I was doing all the stuff. And then all of a sudden there was a text that from all of us, all the cast going, you know about this? How do you know about this? And Tim said, yeah, he was at a party or a meeting or something at NBC. And they said, what about bringing this thing back? And he had been trying for a long time. Look, they if they got one half of the ratings that we got before, you know, TV is so different now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's a show that, luckily for us, that had a good following and everybody loved the characters and everything. So it was really smart for them to bring it back. And the problem I had was they brought it back and shot it in Toronto, which I love that city.
Right.
But I didn't realize how spoiled I was. I have a family here, so it was tough. And we just wrapped our 13 episodes. And that's
all there are, right? So that's the whole arc of this season is just, of this event is just 13 episodes, right?
Yeah, they're doing like, I guess they're calling it kind of a, you know, it's the way they do in you know, on the BBC. Like, they'll do a certain number of episodes and see how it does. But I, if the show, which the show is doing well, I think they might continue it. We'll see. But at least the writers had a point to write to, as opposed to, oh, the ratings keep, okay, now we got to keep this thing going.
Right.
You know, so it was nice.
What character do you play? You show up tonight, right?
Yeah, tonight. I'm Matt Parkman. I'm back as the mind reading cop, but I'm doing some things that I basically sold myself to the highest bidder to save my family. And
going rogue.
Oh, I'm so rogue and so badass.
All right.
It's bad. I mean, really, it's the bad in the best way possible. Because
are you as badass as Zach Levi has been?
Yeah. Although,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a, yeah. I don't, what do you think of his character?
I think it's, I mean, it's fun to see him play a guy that you've never seen him play before, you know, just to, from an acting perspective, it's awesome. But I can't, yeah. I also can't picture you being pure evil either. I mean, it's just, it's really, you're kind of flipping the script a little bit.
Yeah. But to save my family, ultimately, yeah. That's what it's for.
The problem is they're killing everybody with the power. So you step in and you.
I'm going after, yeah.
You go to the dark side.
I go to the
so
dark
to speak.
Side. Yeah.
So
it's great in such a great way. And you think about it, I can control everyone. So outside of Mossy's character, we can go back in time and erase what just happened. I'm, you know, this super powerful character that I never realized I was, honestly, until I started getting the script and going, what? So now none of the other actors wanted to have a scene with me, you know, because they knew what that meant.
Because you're the trump card. You can win.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Greg, my wife is way hot for Mohinder. Is that commonplace? Does that actor hear that a lot?
Well, he's not allowed in my house. I'll tell you right now.
He's very popular with the ladies, right?
Yes. Sendhil Ramamurthy. Look at Milo.
He's dead to me.
Yeah.
He's dead to me.
But he's back on the show. And who else? Jack Coleman, which I was so happy. I mean, Jack's amazing. He's sort of the spine of the show. And like I said, it's doing well. The new characters are great. I think, you know, we kind of went off the rails, I think, season three with all of these characters in the circus. And not that I love the actors and everything, but it was confusing. It was like, everybody has powers now or whatever.
Yeah, that can be a difficult world to wrangle.
Yes.
I would imagine.
And keep everybody, you know, all these plates
relevant.
Spinning.
Yeah.
And Greg, you talk about how TV has changed. What has also changed is there are now 10 other superhero TV shows on the air. And that's kind of tougher for you guys to kind of cut through and carve out your own niche as well.
Absolutely right. By the way, not just 10 other shows, 10 other amazing shows. Like,
yeah.
They really,
really
are.
Well done, yeah.
Very
yeah,
well
the
done.
The Flash and Supergirl and Gotham. I mean, they're doing so much good work with those
How's
kinds
Supergirl?
Of things now.
Have you guys seen Supergirl?
I
really
loved
good.
It.
You did?
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of these shows, so I'm happy about it. But when I look at something, look, Into the Badlands, have you seen the promo for this?
That looks awesome.
Oh, my God. I'm scared because, you know, there's only so much time for people to spend watching TV. It's fine, you know, to binge it and watch it, which is what we do.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, I never thought that it would be like, dude, Heroes is back on your phone. I mean, that's basically what's happening. You know, I was at Starbucks this morning, and there was a guy watching an episode of Heroes. I, like, creeped by him, and, you know, it's amazing. People are watching it, you know, wherever they can.
This is the voice of our friend Greg Renberg here on the Kevin Beach Show. Heroes Reborn airs tonight at 8 on NBC. What do you when you do the kamikaze that you're doing this weekend, kamikazeexpo.com,
yeah.
What's it like for you? When people stop by your table, what do they most want to talk to you about, Greg, after your long career?
First of all, right away, people are like, oh, my God! Like, Elvis is in the building.
Right.
And then immediately they realize that I'm a normal person, and it's such a letdown. I mean, I see it on their faces.
So it's real... High highs and then low lows.
Immediately.
Okay.
And then they look at the price of the signature. And no, I actually had a couple, and they were standing there like, oh, and we had a great conversation. And then they're just standing there, and I'm looking at them. They're looking at me. We're across the table. I'm like, okay, there's a line of people. And I'm like,
anything
right.
else?
Yeah, I'm like, this is a drug deal right here. Let's just end it. And she looks at her husband. Her husband looks down at the price and then goes, nah, I don't think it's worth it. And I was like, that's nice.
Really?
Yeah. And then moves on. And then the next person spends $400 with me signing all kinds of stuff from things in my career. So
it's crazy.
But the best part for me, and this is Stan Lee's in L.A. First of all, I don't have to travel. I say no to a lot of these things because I don't want to travel away from my family on the weekends. But Stan Lee runs a great show. It's at the L.A. Convention Center, like you mentioned. And I get to actually interact. You know, it's nice. It's really nice. The days of, like, keeping it separate are over. I found out Heroes was going off the air from a friend of mine who lives in D.C.
It feels like all actors find information that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been picked up
from
it's
the
been
fan.
Canceled.
I call Frank. You know, it's like,
crazy.
You know, so it's
KamikazeExpo.com, by the way, if you want to buy tickets, they're only $30 and it's going on all weekend at the convention center. We're also giving some away here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now if you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers through you.
Tales from Halloween. I'm in this thing called Tales from Halloween, which is on.
What's that?
It's number one Halloween movie on iTunes right now, and it's a bunch of directors doing shorts that'll scare the crap out of you. And I did one with Mike Mendez, who did Big Ass Spider and Epic Pictures. They put this movie together, and it's really good. And it's really fun, and it's short attention span theater. It's like, you know, a bunch of different stories.
Are you on everything?
Yes.
No, not yet. Not yet. I want to go back on Baby Daddy, if you're listening.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Greg, is I remember when we had you on a few years ago, when apps were not so commonplace, and you were pimping something out at the time called Yowza.
Yeah.
And it got to be very, very popular. You ended up selling that thing, right?
I did. I sold it to.
Are you a billionaire now?
Oh yeah, well, many times over. I'm running for president. No, I sold it to a company called Spindle, which is a publicly traded company, and they have made it much more robust. And if you have Yowza, you still get all the great coupons, but now you can pay with it, and it's linked to POS systems, you know, in the stores and stuff.
What did you learn about? I mean, what did you learn about that experience? And can you come up with another one now?
Yeah, but what I learned for me is to focus. Like, it's like I'm now producing TV stuff. And you know, I did a couple movies. I did Group Sex, I wrote and produced, and now I'm doing a couple other things. For me to go on shows and go, hey, you know, I'm the guy from Heroes and download a coupon. I mean, you guys were so sweet about it. And we, 1.5 million people were downloaded it and used it. But I really want to focus. I have a couple of things that are about to launch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm mainly focusing with my production company and doing that kind of thing. Because it's, you know, the energy that you take to do that. I could be put into a movie or a TV series or whatever, and I'm hosting a couple
you're
things.
Doing it, but just behind the scenes.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And getting another celebrity to be the face of it. Jennifer Love Hewitt and I have a really cool thing that we're doing, and like, you know, so that's what I'm trying to do.
It
and
is,
also the charity
is.
Stuff, my band, man. I mean, that takes a lot of time.
That's right. You're very active in all of that.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, you just must have a crazy schedule when you wake up. There must be days where you're doing five completely different things in the course of that day.
Yeah, but I come here to poop.
That's what's important.
Same. I start my day here.
Same.
All right, last question.
I love you guys that much.
Last question for you, Greg. Yes. You were the first celebrity that we heard about who was on a new invention called Twitter.
Yeah.
Are you still using it, and do you still love it?
Oh, I love it more than ever, and I use it like crazy. I have 1.5 million people. That seems to be my number, by the way, that follow me on Twitter, and they're all young Korean boys, and I couldn't be happier.
Take your pay.
Exactly. When I have a charity thing, you know, talkaboutit.org, my foundation for epilepsy, right? I can get the message out when the band's playing, and we don't play and sell tickets. We play events, charity events and things. And it's just great to have a platform or to tell people to watch a show or whatever. I don't have to preach Twitter, but I was happy I was an early adopter. I tried to invest. Trust me.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk to an investor. Dean, how'd that go?
I didn't invest in Twitter. I just bought stock when it went public, which are two different things. And, of course, it's done nothing but tank since I have owned it.
Yeah, you got to follow Oprah. That's
brilliant.
Crazy. No, but there was a director that I was working with, and he told me there's this thing called Twitter. We're doing a show called Fastlane. I don't know if you remember Fastlane on Fox.
Sure, Fastlane, sure.
He ran that show, and he said, could you go on and tweet? And I said, I don't know, and I started doing it. And then I realized how really quickly I realized this is going to be huge. And I went to him and said, I want to, you know, give whatever I had, whatever it was, like 10 grand or 30 grand, something like that. And, which was a lot of money for me. And they said, no, they just took $13 million. And then the next week they took $50 million and boom, it was over. But he was an early investor. He was an angel or like friends and family around or something.
Well, you wouldn't have had to been on Baby Daddy if you had gotten that money on your Twitter.
That's true.
All right, Greg Grunberg, we love you. It's great to see you again. Have fun at the Kamikaze Expo this weekend. Heroes Reborn tonight at 8 o'clock, and we just can't wait for Christmas time. We'll be in the audience with you, man, watching that Star Wars movie. So appreciate you coming by today. It was really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Comedian Eddie Ift joins us in studio later this morning, and keep listening for your chance to win Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes. That's for Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. Get all the details at KROQ.com and win on the way from KROQ.
How many years ago was the Victor Fuentes 9/11 call?
Oh, man. Five, six? A while.
Oh, it was our favorite thing for like 2 years.
Yeah.
It's so good. He called 911.
Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me. What city?
In Compton.
What is the cross street at the corner of Harris Avenue?
Alondra.
What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want the ambulance to take me to the hospital, and that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Yeah, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut and
so good.
We were very, very obsessed with Victor Fuentes, and we tried, as many people around the country did, to find Victor Fuentes, and it never was revealed. I mean, we hope he was real, and we hope that he's fine,
but no one can ever find him.
Don't suggest this dude was a fake.
I fell off what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
There's too much information and man.
You been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. All right, Holmes.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good.
All right, listen.
What's your name so we know who we're looking
for? Victor Fuentes.
So we were just freaking obsessed with him. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Like Bean said, we were unable to ever find him, unfortunately. And then the Adele song came out. Hello. You've heard that, of course.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet.
By the way, number one on iTunes in more than 100 countries around the world. Set all kinds of records, over 1 million paid downloads, streaming records, Vivo video view records. It's the biggest hit in years.
I checked on Vivo last night. It's been out how long? Did you say a week?
About a week.
Over 215 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which
so
is
Adele's
insane.
Popular.
And I know our listeners right now are trying to follow your timeline.
Right.
Wait, the Victor Fuentes 911 call, that was years ago, and then Adele came out last week. Why are you bringing these things up?
Well, because a Kevin and Bean listener had a brilliant idea and left it on the Afro line of putting the two together.
Hello. Hello.
It's me.
All right, home.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like
to
brilliant.
So there's that, and it's brilliant, but it's only like 14 seconds long.
Right.
So we asked our man Omar, who is our production wizard, to do a real version of it. And we present for you now Adele, the Victor Fuentes mix.
16-12-1.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Victor Fuentes.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over
what?
Everything.
Yeah.
They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
What?
I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger.
I'm 19, homeboy.
And free.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference.
Hell no.
Between us and a million miles.
Hey, too much information and shit. Man.
Hello from the other side.
No.
I must have called 1,000 times.
A couple.
To tell you I'm sorry.
All right, this is
everything that I've done. But when I call you, never seem to be home.
I'm a male, but...
At least I can see that I'm trying to tell you I'm sorry.
All right, home.
For breaking your heart, but it don't matter. It clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore.
Yes, hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and sh**. Come like quiet and sh**.
Hello.
Hello.
DJ Omar Khan.
It's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
I'm not sure that many of those sound bites are necessary or appropriate for the content of Bean Makes Us Guess.
I feel like they're perfect.
How about that? Hey, Beer Mug.
Hey, Bean. How you doing?
Great, sir. Ralph Garman's on vacation, so Mug's going to be filling in doing the Ralph part of the guessing. We're going to try something a little bit different here today. I came across a fascinating list that I thought I would do better at than I did, but it was in Billboard magazine last week.
Right.
A list of pop stars' real names.
Oh.
Now, you know them by one name. And by the way, everybody on this list that I'm going to give you are people that are alive. But, for instance, Ali, if I said to you Christopher Wallace, you would say?
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Exactly. So that, and a lot of people might be surprised to find out a lot of these people, that's not their real names, but a lot of them are also well known. And I don't know how this is going to go. Kevin, I see you already sweating.
Well, I'm not good at this.
But I think you'll be okay. And I think it might also be fun. We'll go around in order like we do. Kevin, you will start first. But let's say you don't get it. Mugs will have an opportunity to go at the same question.
Right.
And then Allie. So there's a way to steal a point from somebody else.
Well, why'd you use the Biggie one?
But wait a minute. So you're not going to give us the celebrity name, and we have to come up with the real name,
no.
right?
Because that's
impossible.
Okay. Other way around. Yeah, I'll give you the real name, and you come up with the celebrity name. And these are all, you know, very well-known pop. There's not going to be anybody on this list you don't know, Kevin. It's just a question of whether you are familiar with their real name or not. And the same goes for you, Muggs, and goes for you, Allie. So let's get started and see how it goes. Like I said, I don't know, but I think this will be fun. And I think it'll be fun to listen to because I think there'll be some surprises with people who maybe don't know their favorite stars' real names. All right, up first, Kevin. Chance to get on the board and lead 1-0. Stephanie Germanotta. Stephanie Germanotta.
Stephanie Germanotta. Lady Gaga.
That is correct, Kevin.
Wow! How did you get that, Kevin?
What just happened?
Wow!
What just happened?
Just dropped the pencil.
Just dropped the pencil. Walk away.
Holy moly.
And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Wow. Come on.
Kevin, please explain.
It was a girl's name.
Uh-huh.
I assumed it was one of the biggest girl stars in the world, and that was the first name that came to my mind.
Wow. It was literally just a guess. There wasn't some part of your brain where you had heard that before?
No. Well, I don't.
You just reasoned it out.
Yeah, I just figured it had to be somebody huge because you were giving us that name, so I just guessed Lady Gaga. I expected you to say wrong.
If you could have seen the initial look on Kevin's face when he first heard it, it was like shell shock.
Nothing.
How about that?
Can I retire?
You should, man. Walk away undefeated. All right, 1-0. Beer Mug, you are up next.
All right.
In your name of a pop star, we're asking for the stage name. You get the real name. It is Ella Yelich O'Connor. Ella Yelich O'Connor.
Sinead O'Connor?
Excellent guess. But no, I'm sorry. But Allie, you get a shot at it.
Okay. Ella, what is it?
Ella Yelich O'Connor.
Okay. She sounds Irish and possibly Polish.
Right. That narrows it down.
So I'm going to say Ella. L-A-A. Rihanna.
That's an excellent guess. And that was me based simply on Ella.
You just repeated Ella a couple times. And went, hey.
Kevin, you got a guess?
I don't even have a guess, no.
We were looking for Lord this time around.
Lord.
Wow. Thought that might be something you might have seen in some of the news about it. All right. Kevin still leads 1-0. Allie, yours is up next, and it is John Gillis. John Gillis.
Muggs looks like he knows.
John Gillis.
I have no idea.
I know Brad Gillis is the guitarist for Night Ranger.
Very helpful.
Does that help?
Very helpful.
John Gillis. The Edge.
Okay, good guess. No, sorry. Kevin?
Wow. John Gillis. Wow. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even know how to guess.
Muggs?
Just say you don't know.
I have no idea. Really, I don't.
That is the real name of Jack White.
Really?
John Gillis. Wow. His stage name is Jack White.
Never heard that.
How about that?
All right. Kevin, you were up first, and the next one is Catherine Hudson.
Catherine Hudson.
Catherine Hudson. These are all musical artists, right?
That's correct, yes.
Catherine Hudson. Catherine.
If you say it again, it'll come to you.
Hudson. I don't know.
No guess?
I don't know.
No guess?
No, no guess.
Even with the first name Catherine, no guess?
Catherine McPhee?
I'm sorry, no.
Well, you just lead me into that one?
I thought you might get it.
No.
Muggsy?
Even with the first name Catherine. Cat Deely? Is she even a singer?
No.
No, but nice reasoning anyway.
Catherine Katie? So Katy Perry?
Yes.
Oh!
Wow.
Wow.
Katy Perry, everybody.
Well played.
Wow. All right. Very nice. The score is Kevin 1, Allie 1, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Bugs, you're up next. Christopher Bridges. Christopher Bridges.
Christopher Bridges. Now, this guy sounds like a country singer.
Okay.
I'm going to say Big of Big and Rich.
Well, look, if it's country, that's as good a guess as any.
That's an excellent guess, but I'm sorry, no. Allie McKay.
Drake?
No. This one I'm actually a little bit surprised. And Kevin, I know this is a name that you have seen many times.
Oh, come on, man. What is it again?
It is Christopher Bridges.
Christopher Bridges.
Should sound familiar to you.
Fetty Wap.
A great guess.
Yes, I got another one.
No, I don't think it was
Christopher
right.
Bridges, you would have seen in many movie credits of films like Fast and the Furious. He is Ludacris.
Oh! Damn it.
All right. We don't have much more time. Who answered that one first?
That was me.
That was you. All right. So, Allie, you're up next.
Okay.
Chaim Witz. Chaim Witz.
Okay. It sounds Yiddish, Jewish. I'm looking at mugs. Give me some of your power. What is it?
Chaim Witz.
Weird Al?
That would be weirder than one. That would be an amazing guess. Modest Yahoo?
That is a great guess, Kevin. That is an outstanding guess.
I knew it was wrong when Beeman said it.
That's outstanding. No, but it really, really is. In fact, yeah, that's very good thinking. Then Muggs, you get the final shot at.
Oh, man.
These are your people.
These are your people. Yeah, come on, chew up, Muggs.
Your tribe.
Heimwitz. I'm going to go ahead and say.
Nope. You can't buzz in. You're already out.
Already out. Ad-Rock. No.
Can I make a guess?
Well, it won't count, but if you want to, sure.
Is it Barry Manilow?
It is not.
Oh.
It is actually Gene Simmons, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, Gene Simmons.
I knew that.
Powerful and attractive man who's very, very, very Jewish. All right, I think we're out of time.
One more.
What's the score?
1-1.
It's still 1-1.
I need to get one.
All right. I'll do this one. Who's up first? I think Kevin is, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Brian Warner.
I know this one.
Uh-oh. Pressure's on, Cav Dog.
Brian Warner.
By the way, it's so funny.
Aaron from Stain.
It's so funny.
Aaron Lewis.
I'm sorry, no. I'm sorry. Muggs, for the tie?
For the tie, Marilyn Manson.
Yes, it is. Well, Marilyn Manson, Muggs. Ladies and gentlemen.
So we're ending this entire game
locked up on
a tie?
I think we need a tiebreaker. Kevin,
as much as you love soccer, I think you would be very satisfied with a 1-1-1 tie. This has been Beat Makes His Guess.
Beat Makes His Guess, yeah.
Hey, if you just this second joined us and you missed Ralph's announcement, a dog was found in the parking lot by one of our phone screeners, Tatiana, here at the Kevin and Bean Show, in the Fresh and Easy store in Culver City. And
they're selling dogs?
Nope. The dog was in the parking lot, Kevin, and she brought the dog to K-Rock because he or she was wandering around with no collar, no tags, no way to get in touch with the owner. So the dog is here at K-Rock. So call if you lost a dog in that area, and we'll try to hook you up because it would be nice to have I'd love to see a happy ending for this story by the end of the show. That'd be nice if we could find the owner, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Or the highest bidder. Highest bidder as well.
Nope, we're not selling the doll.
Well, I'm saying $5.
$5. Starting at $5. Who'll give me $5? Who's got 10? Who's got 10? Allie?
Nope. No.
We like to catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew, usually about something that's going on in the news. And Dr. Drew is a very busy man. Of course, he's co-hosting Loveline. He's on the KABC show. He does the HLN show Monday through Thursday nights at 6. But we have something very personal we want to talk to the doctor about. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm good. This sounds very serious. I feel like I'm going to the principal's office.
It's not serious at all.
Nope, not at all. Okay. Dr. Drew, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I try to follow you on all the social media platforms that I can. And I had the opportunity, a real pleasure, to see your interview that you did on Sirius Satellite Radio a couple weeks ago with Sway.
Okay.
And it was nice
so
to,
far. Okay.
it was great to see some soul brothers just hanging out together. I enjoyed that very much.
Are you counting Dr. Drew as a soul brother?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay.
But something came up in that interview that was so shocking to me, Dr. Drew, that I thought it might be interesting for our listeners, and that involves your prostate.
Okay. Well, I don't have a prostate anymore, so it okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. How did it end up that you don't have a prostate, first of all? Okay. Most males do, right?
Yes. We'll go through that piece. So I developed prostate cancer about 5 years ago, as most men will at one point in their life, by the way, but I got it at a young age when you have to do something about it. And because it was a low-grade tumor, I was on what's called an active surveillance program. We just watched it for a while, and it started to grow, so we had time to pull the trigger, take my prostate out. It's a big operation. I'm sort of looking back at it was 2 years ago when I had that done. I'm sort of looking back at that now and going, oh, man, it took me a while to recover from that. But the reason I brought it up with Sway was African-American men are more likely to die of prostate cancer, more likely to get prostate cancer, more likely to have complications at the time they're diagnosed.
Why is that?
We don't really know. Some of it is they won't do the screening. They're resistant to having somebody put a finger up their butt. And well, I'm just saying.
Who could not be for that?
It's such a pleasure. And there seems to be something genetic going on, too. So I was making the point that, you know, I'm with something called the Prostate Cancer Foundation, PCF.org, if you want more information. And we're trying to raise awareness, particularly amongst black men. And so that came up. That's what I was talking about. But then I don't remember what I said next. I'm dying to know what came up.
What you said next was, as a result of having your prostate removed, when you orgasm, nothing comes out.
That's correct.
Not even air?
Not even powder.
His follow-up was not even air. And I thought that was one of the funniest follow-up questions ever. Because not even air?
Right. Because it's not an air gun. It's a penis. why is that, Dr. Drew? Physically, why does it happen that way?
Because by the way, you need to listen to more Loveline because Catherine with all Psycho Mike's always calling it ghost loads. And he has the joy of bringing that up all the time, which I so appreciate. But I'm pretty desensitized to this topic, so
yeah.
I guess it's not too much information. Be that as it may, the prostate is the gland that produces the fluid.
Okay.
It doesn't produce the sperm. The sperm and the fluid are mixed together in the seminal vesicles. But all that comes out during the operation where they take your cancer out. It all comes out. Everything goes.
Okay.
And so there's no
more
fluid.
Does it still feel the same to you?
Same. Exactly the same.
And
there's no mess.
And can we do that just as an elective thing? I'm for people wondering at home.
For those that aren't really that into that fluid.
I'm just saying, ladies, who's with me?
Can I get an amen?
It does sound like the type of thing that some women would now be saying to their husbands and boyfriends, hey, why don't you go get the Dr. Drew surgery?
Yeah, it's much more cleanly. No muss, no fuss. Turn your penis into an air gun. It's great.
Was it weird for you to get used to, Dr. Drew,
or is it? I appreciate it bringing joy to the rest of you.
Yeah. Was it weird for you to get used to, or did it? Did you just kind of fall back into it? Just seem normal in a hurry.
It seemed pretty normal in a hurry. You know, I'm a physician. I knew what I was getting into. It was not a shock. You know, like, oh my God, what's going on here? That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're going through the, I don't know if you guys want to get into this, but when you're going through the biopsies. The nature of the fluid changes with the biopsy. You see a lot of blood.
Yeah, I don't think we want to. I don't think we need more detail on that.
Good. absence of some of that stuff is like, oh, this is a good thing. This is
okay. How common is this surgery that you had? Are there a million people in America who've had it?
Oh yeah.
You're looking for a date, Bean?
Well, no, I'm curious. I've just never heard of it before in my whole life. That's why it's all new to me.
It's called a robotic radical prostatectomy. It's done in men in their 40s, 50s, sometimes 60s, if they get certain grades of prostate cancer, and it's curative. And it's a massively successful procedure. And what's interesting to me, since I went public about it, it was a weird experience going public, by the way, because I wanted to make sure first I was a good story. I wanted to make sure I was, in fact, a cure before I went, hey, everybody.
Hey, check this out.
So I waited a year or so, and then I got a call from a tabloid going, we hear you have cancer, you're dying, and the HLN is going to replace you. We're going with the story. I was like, oh, come on.
We're going with the story.
Yeah, give me a couple weeks, I'll tell you the whole story. So I came the whole thing out. But when I did, that was about a year ago, I got calls from some very, very public people whom you know who are younger than me,
okay,
who were going through the same thing. Oh, and wow. They haven't chosen not to talk about it yet, but, man, when they do, it will be big. You'll be shocked who has had this.
Okay.
You'll be shocked.
All right. Let's leave out an educational note, because I think there are a lot of people, because they're uncomfortable with anyone getting anywhere near their prostate, maybe they do resist getting checkups. At what age should men go to their doctor and say, hey, check me out, doc, and make sure I'm cool?
Yes, thank you for bringing this up. At 50, everybody, every year, a blood test called a PSA, prostate-specific antigen, and a digital rectal exam. That's the fun part everyone loves.
Digital.
If you have a first-degree relative, particularly if they, too, got cancer at a young age, you should start at 40. So it is really important. I screen people, in the 40, 45 range anyway, just to get a baseline. But it is something, there's no reason anybody should die of prostate cancer. If you live long enough, 100% of men will have prostate cancer at 100. Most men will get it by the time they're 80. And if you get it late in life, we don't even need to do anything about it. It's a low-grade tumor. But early, it can kill you. It's a little different, and that's when you got to get at it and take it out. Cure
it. My butt hurts.
That is great advice. All right, look for Dr. Drew. Yes, go ahead, Ellie. I'm sorry.
All men that don't have a prostate, they don't produce any semen.
So if anyone would like to date Ellie,
I'm saying, is there a telltale sign? How can I know?
Is there a dating site for guys like that?
Can I swipe right?
Let's talk after the show. You and I need to set up a dating app for guys with no prostate.
$1 million right here.
Look for Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Also with Mike Catherwood on Loveline 5 nights a week and weekday afternoons on KABC. Doc, thank you for your frankness on this topic. We enjoyed talking to you. We'll do it again next week, sir.
You bet. Bye.
Let me tell you a little something about that man right there, Imagine Dragons. First of all, they're awesome. Second of all, they're going to be here at K-Rock in the building next Thursday, live in the Red Bull Sound Space, and you can be there too. All next week on the Kevin and Bean Show, leading up to that day, we're going to give away tickets right here on the program for you to join Imagine Dragons in the Red Bull Sound Space. If you're not able to be there in person, of course, you can watch it at krock.com next Thursday, July 23rd.
There are a lot of bands that don't quite sound like their CD does. They're not even that good. Mm-hmm. And then there are a lot of bands that are as good, and then there are some bands that just bring it. And that is Imagine Dragons. They are so
much better. Well, they're tremendous musicians.
Yep.
They really are great. All right, Ralph told us about this story yesterday, and we need to investigate it further because it is it's amazing the things that people complain about. And look, I get it. If you're a parent, you are sensitive to what your kids are exposed to. I totally get that. I think this guy is trying to come from the right place, but he's so clueless that he doesn't understand that the thing that he is complaining about is a thing that passed into popular culture and is acceptable for all ages and has been for 35 years. Listen to this story out of a television station in Philadelphia.
It's pretty inappropriate.
The single dad was shocked to see this on the toy aisle shelf. A Hasbro-made Star Wars Black Series action figure of Princess Leia wearing what the box described as a slave outfit.
I got two daughters. I don't need seeing that crap.
The toy features a scantily clad version of Princess Leia, complete with a chain around her neck. The toy that even has dad blushing.
Now, Dad, why does this doll have a chain around her neck? I don't have any answers. You know what I mean? I'm just, blown away looking at it.
Oh, my God.
What?
I didn't see Return of the Jedi. I don't know.
Why is this nice lady chained up? What's going on? So, Allie, you're the furthest thing from a mother, but how would you explain
what
to your
is wrong
little,
with you?
How would you explain to your little daughters why Princess Leia has a chain around her neck?
I wouldn't have to, because my kids would be raised right, because they would have seen Return of the Jedi
hundreds
and
of times.
They'd be like, "Oh, look at this! Let's get this one, Mom." And I'd be like, "You have that one," and then we'd get ice cream.
And by the way, it's fiction, and she was a slave.
Yeah.
So
when Jabba the Hutt captures you, right. He's going to put you in what he wants you in, and that is
correct.
A bikini.
All right. Exactly. So we wanted to get to the bottom of this story. So we asked Dave, is there any chance we could talk to Mr. Fred Hill? He's the man who was shopping at Target store with his daughters and was just outraged by the Princess Leia doll. And Mr. Hill joins us on K-Rock right now. Hi, Fred. Thanks for the time, sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. Well, we're doing fine. Is it still a big story out there, or have things calmed down a little bit now that you've been on TV?
Well, you know, we talked to Toys R Us, and they're not going to take the toy off the shelves, so there's not much we can do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you were offended for your daughters. Why? Why did you think the little girl shouldn't have seen this toy?
Well, this girl and the doll is a girl, and she's got some kind of bikini on. She's got a chain around her neck. You know, my daughter's right. Like, why does this girl have a chain around her neck? I don't have any answers for that.
Well, have you not seen any of the Star Wars movies, specifically the one that this is from Return of the Jedi?
No, look, I'm sorry. I haven't seen every movie ever made, okay? So I don't know this character,
pretty big movie.
Yeah, but, I don't go to theaters a lot, so was it now? Do I go see it now?
I think 32 years ago.
Well, sorry, Jules Verne. I don't have a time machine, you know?
That's a good reference.
I can't just go anywhere I want to go, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
Okay. I don't mean to be insensitive, but I notice that you are a single dad. Is this why your wife left you?
Look, I don't know why she left me. I don't have any answers for that. I don't know.
You don't have any answers for that either.
One day she was gone. I don't know where she is. I don't have any answers for that. I got two daughters. I don't need her seeing that crap, you know?
Okay. It's got to be pretty tough. It's a full-time job raising those little girls, right?
It is. The toy store is a nightmare. You go in there, you see all these kinds of things, and, the girls are asking me, like there's a spring, right? And you got a spring, and you take it out of a box, and it walks downstairs alone or in pairs.
Yeah, it's
like,
a slinky.
Yeah,
it's just a slinky toy.
Well, sorry, future man. I don't know what that thing is. And girls like, why does this, spring go down the stairs? I'm like, I don't have any answers for that. I don't know.
I think the slinky's been around for like 50 years, Fred.
It's like a circle you put around your waist, and you like move your hips, and it goes around in a circle.
That's a hula hoop.
The girl's like, why do you put that on your hips, Dad? I was like, I don't know. I have any answers for that. I don't know what that
is. It's just a hula hoop. It's not going to hurt anybody. They just let the kids play with it.
There's a guy in another aisle. The guy is, he's supposed to be fighting crime or something. He's dressed up like a giant bat. I'm like, why is he dressing like a bat? I'm like, I don't know. I have any answers for that.
You've heard of Batman, Fred. Everybody's heard of Batman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Albert Einstein. I don't know everybody who ever lived. Okay, I don't have any answers for that.
Do you have access to an internet of any kind at your house?
Sorry, George Jetson, no. I don't have magical computers in my house. I don't know. And well, they got these horses, little horses. They're all different colors. Like, Daddy, why is that horse pink? Horses are brown. Like, I don't know. I have any answers for that.
That's my pretty pony.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm not an equestrian.
Right, you don't have to ride horses to identify something that's been a childhood toy for decades. So, look, you have a television set, right? You must see some things.
Then we're at a supermarket. The girl's like, Daddy, milk comes from cows. Why is that milk in a cardboard box? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
How do you not have any answers for anything?
I thought eggs come from chickens. Why are they in that cardboard box with the holes in it? It's like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
Because that's how they transport them to the market so that you can buy them.
But it's supposed to be from chickens, I got two orders. I don't even see any of that crap. I need to see where chickens lay eggs,
It's just an egg container. That's all it is.
And they point in the sky and say, what's that metal tube with wings on it carrying people?
It's just an airplane.
I don't know. I mean, it's just for that. People are supposed to fly. They're supposed to walk.
Right.
They go to their friend's house, and instead of candles, they got these little glass balls with like flame inside of them. You throw a switch on, and light comes out of them.
Yeah,
I don't need my two daughters seeing that kind of crap. I don't know how the magic light comes out of the glass ball. I don't know how that works.
Why would you not want your daughters to have a light bulb?
Then they go and use their friends. They go to the bathroom with their friends. And they say, Daddy, you got a thing that you poop in a thing, and you hit up a handle, and the water takes the poop
away.
Toilet. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
What?
I got two daughters. I don't even see in that crap.
Literally?
Whatever happened to taking your feces and making, statues of the U.S. presidents out of it?
What?
That's not a thing.
We do at our house.
What?
We take our poop, and we make statues out of it.
Okay, this just got weird.
The old-fashioned way, you know? I got two daughters. I don't even see you in that crap. I just finished Millard Fillmore. It looks great.
Good talking to you.
Comedian Adam Carolla on the program today, and comedian Rob Schneider as well. He'll be here in about 20 minutes or so. Hey, K-Rox Lightning, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. What's happening, kids?
Hard to believe you went to a car show recently. That's not like you.
I know. That's totally out of the norm for me.
what was the event? Where were you?
Anaheim Stadium. It's Nitto's Auto Enthusiast Day. It's a huge show, and the reason this particular car show is cool is because it's free. It was free to get in. It was free for sponsors, and it was a good day in the sun.
Mm-hmm. And you were there with the K-Rock microphones asking what question this time around for lightning strikes?
You know, there was a good kind of good mix of people. You got the older guys that have hot rods and the young kids that have got their stanced out, lowered cars. So I felt like it was a good cross-section of SoCal. So I wanted to find out about Donald Trump. And, you know, there's with the debates tomorrow night, and everyone's just talking about Trump. You got a lot of guys, Scott Walker and Jeb Bush and Huckabee and all these people going head-to-head. Really, people only care about seeing the hair, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And I guess the question I had is he good for the Republican Party, or is he horrendous for the Republican Party? And most people think he's bad. But he's top of the polls.
Yeah, he is.
He's top of the freaking polls. And I feel like, is it because people just want someone who's being honest because they've had so much – not dishonesty, but
they've had a lot of dishonesty.
Yeah. Politicians suck. People hate politicians. So there's a natural tendency to want something else.
Yeah. And Obama seemed real and very different at the time. And now we had to push it even further. And, you know, Trump offers that very different alternate and potentially honest option, I think.
Well, right? I'm excited to hear what the kids had to say about it.
Let's do it.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
So I'm curious, what do you think about Donald Trump running for president?
I think it's the best thing that's going to happen to this country.
Really? Why?
Because Hillary sucks.
Do you think he can actually win?
I think he has a possibility. I think a lot of people will flee the country after he wins.
Do you think people would actually leave the U.S.?
More than likely.
What's your opinion on Donald Trump?
I'm not voting for him.
What is it about him that you don't like?
The fact that he just thinks that because he's got money, that money doesn't get you to be president.
His policies and stuff, you know, about, you know, talking about all these immigrants and stuff like that. Hey, I'm Asian, so.
Yeah. Rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I feel like it's more of a publicity stunt than anything. I don't think he's serious.
Can he make it to the White House?
I think he will. I'm for him 100%.
You are?
I'm 100%.
Wow. You have a mohawk.
Yep. The only reason why I think Donald Trump would be great for this country is literally just because he's a businessman. That's the only reason why. I think everybody else is trying to do all their own to either benefit themselves or they have their own beliefs. Donald Trump knows how to run a business. Obamacare could suck.
Maybe I stood in the wrong spot right here.
Hey,
shut the car, ass much.
My bad.
Donald Trump, can he make it to the White House, though?
I think he should. He's a businessman. He knows money, and that's what we need in this country right now. Okay. Absolutely.
So he's number one in the polls. Do you think that'll go away?
I think so. I mean, there's enough clips online of him doing stupid things that you can mash up that would just ruin his campaign. I mean, he's said some pretty stupid You put enough of his clips together, he's not getting the White House.
I think Hillary's going to win, actually.
You really do. First female president.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we had the first black president. Why not the first female?
Donald Trump. Can he make it to the White House?
Everything he says is right, except his tactics, you know? He's got to come across and appeal to the masses. And I'm sorry, but the masses don't agree with him.
Donald Trump. Can he make it to the White House?
My husband says hell yeah.
You're a Donald Trump fan?
Sure.
Don't give me a sure. Give me an honest answer.
I'm not a political kind of guy, but okay, I think Donald Trump is hilarious with the comments that he makes. He's pretty funny, but yeah, I mean, he wants what everybody else wants, but they're afraid to say it, and he just says it because he doesn't care. So I think he's got a pretty good chance. I think it would be kind of funny if he did actually make it in.
And the winner of Best Heavy Duty here at Nitto Tire Auto Enthusiast Day is
Lightning Jay. Jay, get on up here. Round of applause if you can hand that over to him.
This will be it. No, it's not live, but you're going to be on the radio.
Okay, sweet. Right on. Congratulations. And,
thank you very much.
You have the best heavy-duty junk.
That's what she said. Donald Trump, number one in the poll right now. Can he make it to the White House?
Well, you know, he's got a strong game plan right now. Just knock everyone out of the polls and wanting to, you know, go for him. And, you know, it's definitely a strong character trait of his. I'm hoping that he goes all the way, you know, to jail, you know.
Can he make it all the way to the White House?
I believe not, because eventually America will see for what he truly stands, and hopefully does he pick a better candidate for president.
Now, wait a minute. What he truly stands for, what is that?
I think it stands for just this idea of just being like a tough American all the time, just showing up to get muscle all the time.
He stands for being an asshole.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I agree with him 100%. He stands for just being like the typical American, that's being power hungry, have no if he can control anything else. He has somebody that should have some sort of like respect for everybody. I mean, he called on McCain. I mean, what kind of crap is that? McCain, our war hero. And another thing too, I mean, being a Hispanic man, he's insulting speaking the Mexican race. Does that include speaking every Hispanic man? I mean, every Hispanic man is not the same, dude. We're not all drug dealers, and we're all freaking selling, you know, pot or being.
Wait, you're not?
Oh, I mean, I am, but everybody else is. So.
Yeah. So.
So why was there 5 minutes where you won an award in the middle of that?
Did you win something?
What
in the
happened
middle?
There? Why?
So I won best heavy duty truck.
You're asking but you're asking people about Donald Trump. Why do you leave in the half hour where you win the award?
I was talking to a dude at the bottom, and I literally they're like, "And Lightning, come up." I'm like, "What are you talking? Why did I leave it in the piece?" Yeah. I thought it was funny. I don't know why not. So we learned two
things.
Because
it's not about
right?
Donald Trump.
It's true. It's true. We learned two things, right? So okay. Lightning has a big truck and. All Hispanics are drug dealers?
I'm not positive.
I don't think that was the takeaway.
Oh, it's not. Oh.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Beer mug.
Woo!
Went down to the theater where people are waiting for Star Wars.
Let me tell you a little something about the beer mug that you don't know, Kevin.
Yes.
You're out of the room, and Beer Mug comes in, and we're getting ready to listen to these interviews that he taped down there. Yet he also just came back from Taco Bell.
Right.
So he's trying in his mind to figure out if there's a way he can... What are you eating today, Muggs?
Double-decker taco supreme.
Can he finish the double-decker taco supreme in the 90 seconds he has before we go on the air? Or is he going to have to wait until after this segment to eat? And you should have seen him openly salivating.
He didn't?
Waiting for that food. He didn't eat it.
I would assume just inhale it. I would assume it just went in somehow.
Yep. That's what I would have thought, too. But he is miserable right now, so take as long
all
as
right.
you want on this segment, because all he is doing is looking at that food thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to eat that the minute the mics are off.
Dare you.
So Muggs goes down to the TLC Chinese Theater, and there are people in line.
Or TCL.
TCL as well. This is how he sets it up. He is wearing a Princess Leia outfit.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I, Beer Mug, went down to the TCL Chinese Theater and interviewed people online waiting for The Force Awakens. As you can see, courtesy of Ally McKay's wardrobe department, I'm ready to rock.
Okay, so Muggs is wearing a Princess Leia outfit, which mm-hmm. Ally strangely had.
Well, I have a few.
That's not strange.
So, yeah, that she was just it. One that I would actually have for giving treats out to kids if I went to a friend's house. You don't want to be like sexy Leia, that type of thing. So you just have the white ceremonial dress and the wig.
Okay.
I didn't think it looked on Muggs. I thought it looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah. He's dead sexy.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Here comes the first of many really bad questions.
So far, not seeing The Force Awakens in the new trilogy, what is your favorite? 4, 5, and 6 or 1, 2, and 3?
Okay, so first of all, why are you not miking yourself or them?
Yeah. Well,
hold on.
I can barely hear you, Muggs. I had the mic right in front of my face. Now it sounds like...
I did not change that. I didn't change the volume of that at all.
Us.
Carlos?
I didn't change it at all.
Let's blame Carlos.
No, let's focus on something else. The question is, did you like 4, 5, 6 or 1, 2, 3? That's what he's asking Star Wars fans in line for the new one.
Uh-huh. That's a good question.
No!
Why not?
Okay, maybe you don't know this. 4, 5, and 6 considered great.
The OGs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1, 2, 3 panned pretty much by everybody.
Okay, so, but not everybody is going to have the same opinion, so...
They're all going to have that opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, they are, pretty much. So now he's talking to a guy in line, and the guy's talking about they're all down there for a charity. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know who's being mic'd or why we can't hear him, but try and make it out.
And just one more thing I'd like to add about what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We're doing it all for charity.
Oh, cool.
So all of us that are waiting in line, we are doing this to raise awareness and to raise money for Starlight Children's Foundation.
Very cool.
It's a foundation that works to raise the quality of living for sick children in the hospital.
Now, you're telling me that you had the mic right next to his face.
If you watch the game tape, you will see that I had the mic right in front of his mouth. There is something wrong with that audio.
I won't ask Muggs this, Allie. How are they raising money for this children's charity by being in line for Star Wars? They have sponsors or something like you would if you were running a marathon or something?
I believe so, yeah. They're calling it the Line Awakens. So I believe they have people giving the money. And then anybody that does come down and interview, just by talking about the Children's Starlight Foundation, they're raising awareness.
Four or five people talked about it, but that was the best audio that I could pull of anyone talking about it.
Wow.
Because the rest of it was unusable.
How dare you.
So he talks to he talks to Nate.
I am standing here with Nate Klucki, C-L-U-K-E-Y. Thank you, Nate, and thank you for the spelling of your name.
Thank you for the spelling of your name, first of all.
Smelling?
Yes.
What you said.
Wow. It is what you said. I mean, you said thanks for the spelling of your name. If you want to hear it again.
Thank you, Nate, and thank you for the spelling of your name.
He did say smelling.
Okay.
And then again, by the way, 456-123, that comes back repeatedly. That wasn't just a one-time thing. That was his go-to.
Okay.
So,
what is your favorite movie out of the six that have been released to the mainstream so far?
All right. Now, why wouldn't you mic yourself?
I'm having a hard time.
I didn't change the audio at all. I'm not lying.
It sounds like my mic is in a galaxy far, far away. And I had it right up to his face.
It sounds like maybe your mic is off and a shotgun mic is up somewhere else. Nowhere near any of you.
Okay, so favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because they all answer the same.
Okay.
You know, four or five basically is the answer for everybody. So then Muggs walks up to people, and remember, these people have been in line for a week now, and ask this.
What are you expecting from Force Awakens? Are you excited?
It's a good question.
Are you excited? He says to the guy who's been standing in line for a week. And then, this is where we get into Sniper Muggs, where he starts just being bad in a second.
You think Jar Jar Binks will be back?
good question.
That is a good question. He's talking to a woman who's going to get married.
There's a girl who's going to be a special...
And we can't understand a word she's...
Oh, I was really looking forward to hearing from her.
A couple from Australia is here now, and they're in long-time fiance, and they want to get married here. So it's going to be an elaborate ceremony. The Chinese is arranging everything from all
I'm
the
not, I can't hear any of that, Kevin.
Necessary.
This is literally unlistenable, and this is troubling to me.
So then, Mug steps in and says,
"Well, this looks like an awesome movie. I can't wait to see
it." He's not miking anyone. He's not miking her or himself. How is that possible?
I'm out of explanations. I don't know what to say. If you look at the video, the mic is right in front. I didn't have headphones on, so I can't hear this. So, I don't know what's going on.
I got my first Star Wars figure, which was an R2-D2, when I was 3. My mom bought me a little R2-D2 action figure.
Yeah. Well, this is a good use of Muggs' time, the audience's time, our time.
What is your favorite out of the first six, the original?
He asked that 15 times, and then...
Now, Andrew, you're a big Star Wars fan?
That's the best. Hey, you just won the Super Bowl. You happy?
Secret is, I'd never actually seen it until I'd met my fiancé.
Really?
Full-blown. I was like, oh, yeah, Star Wars.
This is the guy that's getting married, by the way.
Andrew, you're not the guy that's getting married here next week, are you?
Maybe.
What? That's awesome.
All right, now here's what I want you guys to understand. He's talking to somebody who's going to get married in line outside of Star Wars. And just listen to his line of questioning where they're talking about the wedding and then a hard left turn.
Yeah, can't wait. Really excited.
That's on next Thursday.
Next Thursday, walking down the aisle. Well, Caroline's walking down the aisle.
That's pretty dope.
Can't wait.
So are you for the Rebel Alliance or are you for the Empire?
So they're talking about the wedding, and then he says, are you for the Rebel Alliance or the Empire?
What's wrong with that?
Well,
who roots for the Empire, I think, is what's
wrong
with that.
Some
people do. That's
the question. Who,
Allie,
who
right?
wants to, who wants Darth Vader to win?
Sadistic people? And finally.
As you can see, I'm dressed up as Leia right here.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit more in touch. That.
Yeah, I heard you were talking earlier about possibly showing up later as a slave Leia version.
Oh, yeah. No, we wouldn't want to scare the kids off, Larry. That would not be... I think I'd be arrested if I wore that out in public.
Here's my suggestion. We need interviews from the people in line at Star Wars.
Send them back in slave Leia.
Send them back as slave Leia.
I like it. Good idea.
Right?
God damn
Mike
it.
You're upset at us?
I mic the people. I don't know. That's post. That has to be post-production fault. I'm telling you. Every time I go out with the cameraman, it's fine. And then all of a sudden.
What I'm telling you is I got the audio, and maybe I got the wrong audio sent to me. I don't know. I got the audio, and all I did was edit it. I did not mess with the sound, the volume, anything else. So Slave Leia.
God damn it.
Right?
No. I will not go as Slave Leia.
Slave Leia, though. But Slave Leia.
I don't know.
Being Slave Leia?
Slave Leia. Good work, Muggs.
I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I have not. Where you're dating your best friend's ex.
Oof.
That seems like that's a bad way to go, doesn't
yeah.
it? Britney Spears, over the weekend, was seen. She was engaged to Jason Trawick. She was engaged to that guy.
Okay.
So she was seen with his best friend over the weekend, and they were snuggling.
Canoodling, maybe?
I don't use that word. Apparently, there was some kissing, and there was some dancing and putting their hands in the air.
And waving like they just don't care.
Correct. Apparently, that was all happening.
Wow.
So Jason Trawick's best friend. I mean, that seems bad for so many reasons.
Her fiancé's
yes.
best friend.
Yes.
Oof.
And that seems to happen a lot. And maybe it's just the people you're around. Maybe when she was around him.
She got to know him.
Right.
There was chemistry.
Because he
maybe.
Was there and yeah. she's like, oh, I didn't take a note of that. This goes south. His best friend rules. I think that's how it happens.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to your ex's friend's best friend, whatever, maybe you didn't date long. You went on a couple dates with a guy, break up, then you date his friend. Is there a time limit? Does that come into play? Or is it just off the record? You can't date him. There's a code. You can't do it.
I don't know. I feel like maybe when you're engaged.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's.
So I'm saying Britney Spears perhaps went over that line.
Yeah.
Because she was engaged to him for a while.
But if a friend of mine went out maybe a month, a few dates with a guy, didn't work out, she doesn't feel anything for him.
Right.
Is that fine?
Then you go after him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What does your friend think?
See.
I would think that would be a little awkward.
I would, too. I wouldn't do it. Personally, I think there's a code, a guy code, a girl code. You just don't go out with anyone they've dated. But I do know people that do. Like, oh, it didn't matter. I asked before.
Is
they
it
said
okay
it wasn't
if I,
a big
oh, yeah,
deal.
Well, yeah, no, I won't be mad.
Yeah, they're always mad, I
that's
feel.
Always,
yeah.
That's always a negative.
Yeah.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you dated a friend's ex,
mm-hmm.
or you dated an Are we doing ex's friend?
Yeah, I think either side of the
however
coin.
You
yeah.
yeah whichever relationship you got stuck in and how did it go? Because it can't have ended well for I would think for anyone, right?
Yeah.
If you're best friends with somebody, that friendship's going to end.
Yeah.
Just so you could date their friend? I don't know. That seems odd to me.
Your voice is going up.
It's
a
going up
octaves.
Really high, yeah. And I don't know why. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call and we will talk to you. Britney Spears was engaged to a guy, and now she's dating his best friend. That's a little weird, right?
Yeah, you would think.
It seems like it would make things very difficult on every level.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Natalie in Los Angeles. It does scare me how many calls we have for this topic.
Yeah, phone lines lit up.
That does scare me. Natalie, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
So who did you date?
I dated one of my good friend's ex-fiancé.
One of your good friends,
so
ex-fiancé.
Same thing as Britney Spears.
I was a lot younger, though, I have to admit. So I definitely wouldn't do it now that I'm older.
Did you ask your friend's permission? Is that part of the whole process? No.
No.
I didn't. I one of those friends who is more about herself, so I kind of didn't have a problem doing it, I guess you can say.
Okay.
So she wasn't a really good friend.
No. Okay. I felt she wasn't, so I had no problem doing it. And we dated for about 2 years, and we actually got engaged as well.
Oh, wow.
And did you get married as well?
No, it didn't work out.
It didn't sound like you left that part out. Okay.
Got it.
It didn't work out, but I definitely would never do it again. Now that I'm older and wiser, I would never do that to a friend. I think it's wrong.
Yeah, it seems bad.
But I was a lot younger in my days and didn't really care.
Hindsight's 20/20, Natalie. I get it.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the time you spend listening. Let's go to Brittany in Whittier. Hi, Brittany.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
You dated your best friend's ex?
I actually dated two best friends. I was the dater. And I dated two guys who were best friends.
So the guys were best friends with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you
for years, many, many years.
Okay. And it says on my screen, it says flip-flopped between the two. So you went from one to the other, back to one to the other?
Yes. For about 2 years.
Brittany.
And
they didn't have a problem with it?
No, they did. And it was like a huge secret. I had met one at a party and he was super gorgeous. And then he introduced me to a group of his friends, and one I just clicked really well with. We just had the chemistry, and I remember how awkward it was when he said, wow, you two have a lot in common. You guys should be dating.
Mm.
And it just got really awkward after that. And after we stopped dating, I did start dating his friend, and then he found out, and then we broke up, and I went back to him. And then we broke up, and I went back to his friend.
You're a disaster. That's crazy bad.
Or did she just take his advice?
I don't know. I did.
He said you should date my best friend.
I'm not positive that he meant it.
He didn't.
But she took it. All right. So did it all end up great?
No.
She's now married to their other best friend.
We all kind of went our separate ways after that because it just got really messy. And then it turned into like a whole lot of name calling.
Yeah.
And nothing ended well.
Would you do it again?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
What if he's really hot?
And I'm wiser.
But what if he's really hot?
Well, if they're both really hot, well, why not?
There you go. All right. Good. Thank you, Brittany, for the call. Let's go to Jacqueline in Woodland Hills. Hi there.
Hi.
So you dated a best friend's ex? This is all so confusing. Who did you date?
I know. I dated a guy for 2 years, and he's now married to my best friend, and I'm married to one of his best friends.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
You dated a guy for 2 years, and he's married to your best friend.
Yeah. And we were roommates. I was living with this girl at the time. And she kind of went through, like, the whole breakup with me. We got dumped at the same time. And then, like, a year and a half later, I set them up on a date.
You set them up?
Yeah.
So, obviously, you were okay with it.
I thought I was. And then they, like, started dating and became boyfriend and girlfriend. I, like, saw pictures on Facebook. And then I kind of, like, freaked out at them.
Look.
And
but that's,
I thought I was over it.
That's on you, though, right? I mean, you set them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was good. Like, I knew they would be good together. It upset me more than I thought, but it's all good now. Like, they're some of our best friends.
All right. Good. So at least there's not destruction there. Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to James in Los Angeles. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my wife and I were longtime childhood friends, mm-hmm. and we were both previously married. And because we were married to other people, we all four of us became good friends. And we used to hang out quite a bit. We used to make jokes about just swapping spouses. Never actually happened that way. Circumstances being what they are, we both ended up divorced. My wife now and I, we got married. And 2 weeks ago, my ex-wife and her ex-husband got married.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
This sounds like it's perfect.
It's pretty much the best episode of Jerry Springer ever.
And are you all still friends?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Not just no, but
avoid
no.
Avoid each other at all costs.
Avoid each other at all costs. All right. So that seems like a negative. Thank you for the call. Man, a lot of people do this. Isaiah in Victorville. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
so you were in a band with a friend, right?
Yeah, he was my lead singer. They were married for like 2 years, and then they ended up getting divorced. And then he ended up hooking up with my other best friend's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. So since he broke the code, I was like, hey, why not? And I ended up hooking up with his ex-wife.
And okay. Are you still in a band with him?
Oh, no.
No.
So because he broke the code, you thought it was okay to break the code. What are your thoughts now?
Yeah, well, now, I mean, he ended up moving to Canada, so it don't matter to me.
All good.
Right? Yeah.
All good.
If you move to Canada, it's all off the table, right?
Exactly.
All right, so for keeping score, I think we're 3 wins and 1 loss.
Okay.
Three losses and actually 1 win, actually.
What?
You heard me. I think we had 3 losses and 1 win so far. Let's go to Molly in Anaheim. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Molly.
So you were dating who?
I was dating my high school sweetheart.
For how long?
On and off for like 7 years.
7 years, all right.
And then he had a friend, and so I hooked him up with one of my best friends. So it was us two couples, and I kind of decided, and my now husband decided that we liked each other more, so we kind of started seeing each other behind their backs.
Oh, Molly.
But we're married now.
Right.
Okay.
But while it was happening, wow, how'd you break it to your then high school sweetheart boyfriend that you were dating his best friend?
He just kind of found out. I think my best friend was a little more upset than my high school sweetheart was.
Is she still your best friend?
No.
Okay. Right. Is he still your friend?
No.
Nope.
All right, Molly.
All right, so we got 1 win and 4 losses. Okay, so far not so good. Let's go to Mo. This is a strange one. Hi, Mo.
Hi, morning, guys.
Hi, there.
Morning.
So I had 2 different best friends at different times when I was younger, and what I did was I befriended their boyfriends, convinced them to break up with my friends, and ended up dating both my best friends' exes.
What's wrong with you, Mo?
Okay, wait. So
who hurt you?
I was younger, and I had this power trip because I was kind of the cuter one. So I was like, I can totally do this. And I did it, and I definitely regret it. However, one of my best friends, I still talk to her. She's actually a lesbian now,
uh-huh.
So figure. And her and I still talk, and we're completely on good terms. The other one, not so much.
Wow. A power trip because she was cuter.
I'm cuter.
Mo! Good Lord!
Everybody does it. Everybody does it.
But you got no class.
You're a cuter friend, you got to try it, because you can do it.
No.
I feel like
it's
sort of... I feel like you
Mo,
sort of...
it doesn't.
I mean, I've never been in that position, but I feel like... Don't you feel like you sort of
she
would?
She did it twice.
She did it twice. That's not ideal. Let's go to Ruby in Placentia. Hi, Ruby.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
We're good. We're stunned by all the calls. I thought we would get 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Insane. What did you do?
Well, my sister was in high school, and she was dating this really great guy, and he ended up having already purchased tickets to go to meet a girl in Canada that he had been pen pals with over the summer. So my sister said, if you leave, then we're breaking up. He left. He ended up not getting laid because he forgot to buy condoms. And
good,
he came
good.
Back. 6 months later, we started hanging out, and it was like a lightning bolt. We have been together for 21 years now.
Wow.
And we got married, and my sister was fine with it. They were only together for a week, and nothing really intimate happened.
Right.
And I totally cleared it up with her first.
Yeah.
Because she is my best friend.
So you still talk to your sister?
Oh, all the time.
All right, we got a second win.
Yes,
we got a second win.
Well, don't let him... Don't let him around Mo. If you encounter a woman named Mo, just run, Ruby.
Speaking of calls, my wife is on the line. And thank you, Ralph. The reason being is I found out this weekend, and tell me if this is disturbing to me as I feel like I have something to be concerned. I'm looking over my shoulder now because I found out that
tell
my wife.
Tell me if this is disturbing to me.
All right, Kevin, go on.
I found out that my wife is actually planning my funeral.
Actually?
And actually
literally?
Planning my funeral. Yes, and actively as well. This isn't just some faraway thing, oh, I understand I'm probably going to outlive you, one day I'll bury you, honey. That's not what this is. This is,
I am making plans. I know what the readings are going to be. I've got the seating chart. I've got the invitations.
That's love, Dean.
That's not love.
It is love.
She's way too far along in the planning process for my funeral.
I like the way she thinks.
Yeah, I'm with
her. I hoped was decades in the future. So we welcome Mrs. Baxter to the Kevin DeVito Show from the kitchen downstairs right now. Hi, Donna.
Hi, baby.
So... To tell the kids how this came up the other day. We were sitting watching TV.
This is so unfair. First of all, I want to blame Kirker Butler because this is actually on him. We were watching his super funny but dumb new show, and they had a scene where, you know, the patriarch...
This is the Life in Pieces show that we were talking about.
The patriarch of the family is having his birthday party as a funeral so that all his friends can say nice things about him while he's still alive to hear them. And his son... starts reading that W.H. Auden poem from Four Weddings and a Funeral, mm-hmm. which is beautiful.
Yes.
Which 25 years ago I decided, like, that is just the deepest, sweetest, loveliest poem. I'm going to read that at Bean's funeral because that's how I feel about him.
And you've been dying to use that poem for 25 years.
Well, here's the thing is Bean's like high-functioning autistic.
Right.
So he plans, he goes to bed planning, today's a Denny's day, tomorrow's an IHOP mm-hmm. day, today I'm going to eat this, tomorrow I'm going to do the dishes at this time, don't touch the dog food, I've got a system. So I thought that Bean would actually appreciate the fact that I'm planning for
right?
this.
Right,
Donna, you are so right. This is the, of yeah. all people, Bean Thank should appreciate the
exactly.
forethought and the planning going into this.
So what does he do the other day when I go, I was just caught off guard. I go, oh, my God. And he goes, what? And I'm like, that's the poem I was going to use at your funeral. And he goes, what? He's like, why are you planning for me to die? Now, like, I have already been told by other people and seen on Twitter with the hashtag, like, whatever it is, Summer at Beanie's, that he's not really alive anymore. people are making these assumptions like I went to Barcelona by myself and I'm just propping him up and carrying him
around.
Yeah,
there were suggestions for some of the listeners that I'm already dead and it was a weekend at Beanie's situation. At
Beanie's. So, you know, here I am. It's like, why would I plan for Bean's funeral? Because 3 years ago at Christmas, he fell down the stairs and hurt his back. 2 years ago Christmas, he fainted and broke 3 ribs. Last Christmas, he fell off a stage and almost died.
Look.
Like, if anybody should be planning, it should be me, right?
You're preaching to the choir, sister.
Thank you. Believe me.
We know. The way Bean lives his life, it's just a matter of time.
He's a daredevil. I mean, Evel Knievel wishes that he was as bold as Bean is in his everyday.
Bean's going to fall in a well, and then that'll be the end of it.
Donna, I think the fact that you have a date circled in red with a happy face.
That's my point. That's
the scary part.
It's not a happy face. Have you heard the poem? The poem is like, you know, put out the stars, put out the sun. They're not wanted anymore. I mean, that's how devastated I'll be when Bean dies.
But my sister,
Carrie, who's single, has said, please make sure there are hot guys at the funeral for me to hook up with.
Life is for the living. Yeah. As Bean has said many times, life is for the living.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, and Bean has also said, by the way, when I die, for me not to worry about him because he's going to meet some hot model at my funeral, and she, don't worry, he won't let her wear my clothes because her boobs will be too big.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
I'd like to say, in fairness, I think I'm the one that's going to be the saddest when they lose their spouse.
All right, we're almost out of time here. The feeling I got was not just, oh, this is something I've thought about for decades. The feeling I got was, I am planning it now. I have the dress picked out that's hanging on the back of the bathroom door. I've got the guest list ready to go. I feel like it's closer than I know, this funeral that you're talking about.
No, not at all. I mean, Stryker's on call right now. That's my date.
Other than that, I
don't really have an outfit picked out. You know, I don't like to wear last season. So
okay. She'll design something brand new for the event, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we got to go. Can you at least give me a heads up how much time I have?
I think you're good today.
Okay, good
the rest
today.
Of the show, Bean.
I think we're
Enjoy.
Good today. I super right. love you. I'm going to miss
you. I love you, too. I'm going to miss you, too.
Be
Wait
super
a minute.
Rich. But
that's true, Donna. Just dawned on me. He's saved every nickel he's ever made. You're going to cash in.
I'm so rich. You don't even know. But I'm going to hate every minute of it because life with you... Valentine's Day every day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye. See you later.
I love you. Be safe. Make good choices.